Welcome back to this week's episode, where we're going to be covering what happened in the week that has transpired and alerting you to what we're expecting for next week in terms of economic data coming out and how the markets have been going. Today is going to be interesting because we're going to be discussing, you know, last week we discussed some central bank decisions on interest rates. This week, again, we had the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve decide on interest rates. And that will be really interesting to get into to understand why they haven't moved their interest rates anywhere and why they've kept it the same. To start, however, we want to talk about the Q4 data that came out of Germany in terms of GDP. So maybe, Urs, you can get us started with that.
Yeah, as expected, the Q4 data of GDP development has been quite negative. It has decreased by 0.3% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. On a year-on-year basis, it was minus 0.2%. And over the whole year, it has been minus 0.3% as well. And the worrying part of it is that the forecast is not as positive either. So for the first quarter 2024, we expect negative development of GDP numbers and for the year overall as well. And that for Germany being the biggest contributor of the European Union economy, this has a huge impact.
Yeah, I think when we look at that data, a negative 0.3 performance in a quarter is never positive. Obviously, everyone wants to grow the economy. At the same time, it's not the worst thing in the world. But as you mentioned, the outlook looking so negative, I think people still have a little bit of shock trauma from 2020 when things went really bad all of a sudden. Yeah. And now it's a little bit different because it's a progression. So if things stay the same and we don't have any shock events, I think the world is kind of getting used to it. And so Germany's in a position of having to fight their way out, I think.
Definitely. And I mean, what we have seen in the last couple of weeks in January particularly was a lot of riots, like demonstrations where people went on the street or were laying down the work. And that will have an effect on the GDP numbers. If the productivity drops, then obviously you cannot produce any return and cannot export product services whatsoever.
Certainly. And I think looking at the broader picture, as well as even though, you know, Germany had a tough quarter, there were other countries in the European economic area or the EU that also had similarly, well, worse years than them. I think you were mentioning a few of those countries.
Yeah,
Belgium maybe was
Belgium
one of them.
Belgium was a little bit worse off, but also Ireland. Ireland had the worst, but also on the other side, there were many other economies that were in the positive, like Spain, Portugal, even Italy. France stagnated, but overall the picture isn't the best.
Yeah. So with that, that's a good picture of what's happening in the Europe area. Then we can kind of shift our attention more to the consumer confidence numbers that came out in the US. Sure. Maybe you can shed some light on that.
Yes. Yeah, so the consumer confidence has increased, which was kind of surprising. Also, the expectations of a recession happening within the next 12 months has decreased. The financial situation of the participants of this questionnaire or round of questionnaire has increased. So it is interesting to see that kind of out of a sudden, people in the US become much more positive for this year, as they have been quite negative a year ago.
Yeah, I think that's interesting to see. I mean, we have seen a 3-month rise in the consumer confidence. So starting back in November, there was this, you know, confidence rise. I am surprised not so much in the November and December rises, but now January as things kind of look tough. But at the same time, I mean, that's the consumer confidence that they're just looking at. How do the people view the markets in general and their outlook?
Yeah.
On top of that, we have seen this week interest rates.
Yeah.
From the BOE, the Bank of England, and the Fed for the Federal Reserve, we saw them essentially hold their interest rates at the same way. Maybe pairing from our consumer confidence, you could explain why they're doing that, And actually, before we get to that, I forgot that we wanted to talk about that the unemployment numbers came out this week as well.
Yeah, just recently. I mean, Friday afternoon, our time, or Friday morning, the U.S. time, they published unemployment rate, which was expected to slightly increase, but apparently it has stayed the same. So it's 3.7%, which is a very strong labor market, or shows a very strong labor market. And it's generally speaking, is a positive data point for the economy. But it will be interesting to see how the markets react, because as we already have seen in the past couple of years, sometimes positive or good news are bad news for the markets, and the other way around. And so since what we are going into now, central banks are not that eager to lower interest rates, investors are much more looking for negative numbers, negative data points to give the central banks reasons to faster or sooner decrease interest rates levels.
Yeah, and I think that's the fascinating number when we're kind of playing on the consumer confidence versus the central bank's decisions. Is one of the cited reasons that consumer confidence is high is because the labor market remains strong, inflation seems to be, you know, depleting. And at the same time, I think while there might be going in the right direction potentially, if you look at the inflation numbers, they're being driven strongly by services. Yeah. And so that's what the Fed's really looking at and seeing, hey, you know, these services, the wages, raw materials aren't up, but this other factor is still up in putting pressure. And so as long as we have a strong market or a strong unemployment rate and inflation is kind of going in the right direction, why should we move?
Yeah, and I think that's definitely the point why central banks are holding back, the Fed as well as the Bank of England, because like, for example, the energy prices, they have become lower for a couple of months now. They have brought inflation down, and also the goods prices, they have decreased. But then on the other hand, you have services which have become more expensive, and services do not or are not based on raw materials. So it's really like about the profit margin, it's about paying higher salaries. And so that will be interesting to see how that develops and how that plays into this whole inflation calculation. Because at the end of the day, the effects or the impact of the other contributors, they will ease out. But as long as services will keep increasing, that might become a problem. And that's the main reason why central banks are holding back and say, okay, the numbers we are seeing, they are very nice, that's, and we like that, but the time period we have since these effects started to kick in is like 6 months, but we need more data. We want to continue to see this positive effect playing into inflation figures. And that basically meant that the expectations of the Fed, for example, lowering interest rates as early as in March is pretty much off the table.
Yeah, I think that's a reality. I mean, especially when you get into the market side of things and all the investors talk about this is the year where corporate profits is what we need to look at. Mm. We've already seen a lot of major companies start to lay people off. There's a serious play there in terms of just from the economy and, you know, the economic players that make up the marketplace. Really show an interesting picture, and it's interesting to see that kind of everyone's dancing around that issue of what's going to be strong. Will your corporate earnings be strong? Service areas causing inflation. So how do we kind of manage that as a company and go through that? But I agree. I think March, seeing interest rates go down, it would need something pretty wild.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also interesting, or it will be interesting to see whether there is some special event coming up. If you remember a year ago in March, there was the regional banking crisis in the US going on, which was kind of an event which not that many people saw coming. And I mean, maybe something like that happens again. But on the other hand, we have, as you said, a lot of companies that are still very strong. We have been in the publishing time right now where a lot of companies reporting on their fourth quarter on 2023 in general, and the figures have been quite strong. And will it keep or will it stay like that? This is a big question.
Yeah, and that'll be interesting to see. So now looking forward, what do we have next week that you want to highlight to our listeners that they should be keeping an eye out for?
We're still with central banks. So the central bank in Australia, they will make their decision on interest rates. We don't expect too much movement. We think they will align or move in line with what the Fed did, the ECB, the Bank of England, and so on. So that is, but will still be interesting to see some figures. And then we have in the US as well, we have the purchasing manager index of services coming out, and also the household debt, which will be interesting also combined with the consumer sentiment we have seen just coming out this week. So whether it holds up or whether debt is piling. And then there is also some figures from the inflation side where China and Germany will bring out more numbers and more background information about this or on this. So this will be interesting. And last but not least, you mentioned something earlier.
The unemployment rate of Switzerland and Canada will come
out.
So that'll just be interesting to see for strong economies in general, but maybe outside of a little bit outside of the major news.
Correct.
Yeah. Cool. Urs, thank you. Looking forward to doing this with you next week.
Likewise.